This is Rowena Forney. Today I'm talking with Dorothy Glacken in her office. Dorothy was my predecessor in the library and has a lot of very interesting stories to tell about the early days in the library. So, Dorothy, I would like you to begin telling us, how did you get hired and who did you work with in the early days of the library?
I came to the library straight from library school at Rutgers, and in the days when it was at New Jersey College for Women. And the head librarian at the time was Jeannie Lloyd, a very vivacious, attractive, redheaded librarian, who incidentally lived at Miss Graham's house, which was a tea house in the main street in Bel Air, which is now where the Clark Law Firm is located. Mm-hmm. And Jeannie was the head librarian, and her cataloger reference librarian was Cicely Hinton, who I think had an English background. And we, at that point in time, I came as children's librarian, so we had three professionals. When I came for my interview, I was extremely impressed because Bill James took me to the train to return me to New York, and I was to take a local back to New Brunswick. And Senator Millard Tidings was at the station, and they were stopping the express to pick up Senator Tidings. So Bill James prevailed upon the senator to let me ride back on the express. So I think one of the reasons I took the job was I thought I was coming to a very cosmopolitan community, very exciting. And I did indeed accept the position and arrived on the scene. They had a small panel truck bookmobile with the outside sides opened. We put boxes of books inside and carried them around to schools. We established bookmobile service to each of the schools. There were many 1 and 2 room schools in the county. Perryman and Harford Furnace and Upper Crossroads and Youth Benefit and even a Korea school where the children at one point were snowbound overnight, and it was all very old days in the county. Mm. And we had Jane Greer, who was a local Harford County girl and lived Greer Nursery Road, Greer's, and her brother is George Greer at Carroll County. Jane was the bookmobile assistant, and we had a lot of good days out on the bookmobile. We never missed a snow day, and it seemed like schools didn't close in those days as much as they do now. The first thing that happened after I arrived, the 1st of July, very first week after I arrived, I was sent to Chicago to the university for a seminar, and that was another very exciting thing. I think it was the last trip I had a chance to make after that, because we were very busy. But within a few months of my arrival, Jeannie Lloyd decided to go to the Midwest to take a library position, and it was discovered that Ms. Hinton had library credits, but she didn't have enough college credits to get the certification. So by December of 1947, I found that I was appointed head librarian because I had the certification, if not the knowledge and experience, to become the head librarian. And then Ms. Hinton decided she didn't want to work for somebody half her age, so she left, and I was on my own, completely on my own. Then
said you were the youngest?
I think I was the youngest at that point, the youngest county librarian in the United States, fresh out of school. Youngest county library administrator, mm-hmm. Certainly the youngest county librarian in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And
how old were you then?
21.
Oh my goodness.
Youngest. Mm-hmm. So then Ann Fell was the next librarian to come, and Ann came back to us from the Midwest. But she was a Baltimore girl, lived in her home was in Baltimore, and she lived in Baltimore. Ann had the honor or privilege or bad luck of turning over the bookmobile, which made history.
It certainly did.
Didn't really do any damage, other than to her pride, and but caused her to decide not too long after that she would go back to Baltimore. She didn't think she was really meant for county living. And so then down the road, Margaret Moyer joined us. She had been in Indiana and had worked in Baltimore for some time. And she had been a roommate with Jean Sansonetti, who lived in the county and who worked at Forest Hill and who later helped establish the Forest Hill School Library. And Jean, I think, later also worked at the Harford County Library.
Yes, she worked for me, too.
She worked later. Mm-hmm. So Margaret and Jean were good friends, and that's how Margaret Moyer came to Harford County. So she stayed for 3 years, 19 or maybe 4 years, 52 to 55, something like that. Then I began to talk, be quite vocal about the fact that I was going to establish a family, and Margaret really did not want to take on the task of being the administrator. She preferred being second. She didn't really want the responsibility. And also, I think the Maryland climate didn't agree too well with Margaret, and she thought she'd like to go to Seattle, so then she went to Seattle. Mm. And right now, as of today, she's visiting me again.
Isn't that interesting? You've kept touch of her all these years.
So we've been in touch over the years.
Yes.
And remain good friends.
What were some of the early programs that you tried to bring out in the library?
Oh, I think that my favorite, I guess, we established First Fridays. And the first Friday of each month, we would have a featured speaker, and we used some local people. Dr. Steve Hopkins was one of our highlights, I think. He gave a tremendous travelogue and showed beautiful pictures of faraway places, and then took down the house with his last picture, which was taken from the top story of his home on Main Street. Mm. A gorgeous sunset over Harford County.
Oh.
And we had many travelogues. We had people who spoke on every place in the world, I guess. George Van Bibber gave us some of the travelogues. Nina Collier from Indian Spring Farm talked about her experiences with Indians in different parts of the world. Cornelia Meggs spoke on Invincible Louisa. Dr. and Mrs. Pierce, I think, each gave talks at the library. Dr. Pierce had a series of very intellectual talks on history and current events. We had a person whose name escapes me who gave a marvelous talk on mental health, and the result of that was that we had a workshop for several weeks. Several of the people who had attended the initial lecture wanted to hear more, and from that came the birth of the Harford County Mental Health Association. A friend of mine, whom I had met through the Mountain Club of Maryland, he went on hikes with me, which was my greatest recreational hobby, was being a member of the Mountain Club, and his name was Orville Crowder, and he came out and gave a beautiful bird talk, and again, it was a First Friday lecture, and people were very interested in that, and a group came back, and we had a series of small talks with Orville Crowder, which developed in the Harford County Bird Club being established. So those were two of the favorite programs which were developed from the library. Story Hour program, of course, was one of the things which I loved. Having been a children's librarian, I think I was very divided. I don't know which I liked better, the reference or the children's work. And I had most of the story hours with some guest storytellers when I could prevail upon them. We had soap carving day. We had a magician's day. We had different guest people for the children. We always ended the season in each community with a story hour party of some sort in that little community, or we brought, at the end of the summer, we had a big party and brought children in and gave them reading certificates. I had several young girls who came in to work as pages, who later became librarians, Doris High, whose father, Lewis High, was well known in the community and who just passed away recently. She went on to New Jersey, to Rutgers, and got her degree as librarian. And Anne Zimmerman, who was a Delta, Pennsylvania, daughter of a high school principal in Pennsylvania, started as a page in our library, and she went on, became librarian in the Reading County school system. And those girls did a lot with the, they were sort of in charge of running the summer reading clubs, and they had all kinds of ideas for games and things that would interest the kids in reading.
It was nice to have young people to work with them.
That was it, right. They enjoyed the little ones.
Mm-hmm. There it goes.
Someone whom I failed to mention, and a couple of people whom I don't dare leave out, of course, through the whole thing, Mrs. Broadnax Cameron Sr. was a leading, well, all of the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
I should have mentioned all of my trustees, because without the trustees, we would have just gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Cameron was the leading figure. She was the head of the board under all my years of being librarian. And Milton Wright was my mm-hmm. absolute right-hand man, and he also did all of our bookkeeping and accounting. In the beginning, he did it all by himself,
right.
No charge to the library.
Yes.
And later we hired Ned Hall, who I think remained the accountant for years after. Estelle Everett, who was the head of juvenile services in Harford County, was on our board, and it was through her efforts that the Emerton Grange came in and redid the whole basement of the library so that we could have a meeting room down there for our story hours and for our first Fridays. We had art exhibits, Mrs. Collier and Lois Reed, among others, and Kate Lord, who was an artist for the Lewis Bromfield books, and the wife of Russell Lord, who gave travelogues also for us. They provided us with ever-changing art exhibits in the basement of the library and upstairs. Mrs. Collier kept a museum case in the entrance hall of the library filled with very attractive displays, which were changed about every 3 weeks. She borrowed objects from the Baltimore Museum, and plus her own collections of Indian objects, and she arranged for the library to be gifted with things from the Freedom Train that was going cross-country, and we acquired some permanent donations from that.
How about some of your...
Strange things that happened. We had a squirrel safari one night. Most libraries don't have things like that. We had some people came over from Bond Street and gathered squirrels one dark night so that we would cut down on some unpleasant noises during the day in the library.
Yes,
they were housed
in
the belfry.
In the old church building. Stained glass windows and a belfry.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another rather exciting day at the library, we had a space heater in the basement of the library, and it seemed to be smoking, and we didn't want to disturb the readers upstairs. We didn't have a very large reading room, and the motto of the library was that library business went on and nobody was disturbed. So we called the library and asked if they called the fire company and asked if they could quietly send someone to check out a fire in the basement of the library, and found out that volunteer fire companies can't come quietly. But our patrons read upstairs while the firefighters came in and checked out
the
smoking stove. And then another evening, which showed how dauntless the library patrons were, occurred when a child whom we knew suffered epilepsy was in the library, and she sustained a very serious seizure, and we called her physician to come. While we were waiting for his arrival, she was stretched out under the magazine rack, and a gentleman came in and inquired whether we were having a first aid course, and went about picking out his Friday evening reading without raising an eyebrow. And another time, a gentleman came in and down on his, literally on his hands and knees, moaning sackcloth and ashes, returned some books which he had vowed with great certainty he had long since returned, and at the time that he reported that he had returned them, he had caused the librarian on duty to literally be dissolved into tears because he was so sure who was Mrs. Perkins.
Yes.
So then when he came back many months later with the books, he put on this little dramatic presentation, crawling from the front door to the desk.
Yeah.
So those were some of the highlights, I guess.
Mm-hmm. How about the man who came in who was out of a job?
Oh, yes. We had another day after on my Chicago trip. I always remembered the words of the lecturer who said that you did anything and everything to get, persuade, tease, inveigle, to get people into the library, particularly teenagers at that point in time. Well, one day we had three gentlemen who came into the library. They were obviously dressed as laborers, and they were obviously uncomfortable in the library, but we offered our assistance, and they didn't want our assistance, but they sat over at the reading table, and they stayed the whole day. Mm-hmm. And as evening approached, Margaret Moyer was on duty, and she was a little concerned about their remaining in the library, and she was going to be on duty that evening, and she just didn't know whether she wanted them to remain and she be there alone. So we talked to them, and we couldn't seem to find out why they were there, or they didn't seem to want to reveal too much. And then we noticed that one of the three had selected a book, but when we walked by, we saw the book was upside down, which didn't encourage us too much. And we didn't know whether they were casing the place, whether they intended to come back after we left, or just what their situation was. So anyway, they went out, two of them went out across the street to a restaurant, and we asked the local town officer if he would see if all was well with these gentlemen. So he went over and talked to them and found out that they had been laid off of their jobs that day, and they had called for a wife to come to pick up the three of them, and they just simply didn't know how one acted in the library, but they were afraid if they told us that they were just putting in time, they maybe wouldn't be allowed to remain.
A while ago you mentioned some of your trustees. I think you didn't finish. You mentioned Mrs. Cameron and Milton Wright and Mrs. Stell Everett. Who were your other trustees?
I failed to mention Carola Mason, whose husband wrote the historical sketches of Harford County. Sam Mason was the author. And she was a delight. She was an Englishwoman who had lived here for 20 or 30 years, but always remained the Englishwoman on the board.
Mm.
And she represented the Darlington community and did a great deal to establish the little branch that we had there. Then Mr. T. Milton Carroll represented the Havre de Grace area. And the Havre de Grace area was always a rather difficult area for us to get into, but we did get a little branch over in Concord Fields. And I think you just recently were considering almost the same area for your recent Havre de Grace building. And Mrs. Catherine Mitchell represented the Aberdeen area, and of course we can't fail to mention that Mrs. Frank Baker was the librarian at the Aberdeen branch library. Then Marguerite Scarfe represented the Jarrettsville area on the board, and her home was right across from the Ladue Topiary Gardens, and she was a sister to Judge Scarfe, who was a well-known Harford County figure. So we indeed had a prestigious
board.
Did
you mention Senator James?
Senator James, of course, was the founding father, because he helped put through the legislation without which we wouldn't have had the county library, and later was the big force that put through the state aid, and which really took you over the whole hurdle of no money, which was our big problem. The whole early years was no money.
Mm-hmm.
But
still is.
You did get your state aid and so forth through the efforts of Senator James. So I had a fantastic board.
Well, Now let's go into buildings. You started out in this old church building.
We had the old church building in the Grange. The Emerton Grange came in and even won, I think, national awards for remodeling and restoring and fixing workroom space and meeting room space in the basement. We had small spaces donated. We had a library established in a room of a private home in the Darlington area, and the key workers there, Mrs. Murphy, who had been a high school teacher, been my husband's favorite high school, one of the two favorite high school teachers of my husband, had the ran the library in Darlington, and then Lucille Lanius was mm-hmm. the branch librarian in Darlington. We had the little Concord, we established a little branch in the Concord Fields community, and mm-hmm. Marie Engel and Marcia Kuhn helped in that area, and they just died within maybe 2 months.
Yes, they did.
And they were very active in that area. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had the library was in Aberdeen, was in the USO building, and my last act, indeed, I guess, as librarian in Harford County, was to move the library from the USO building into the newly opened branch building in Aberdeen. Now, that building has, of course, been replaced by your beautiful new large structure in Aberdeen.
It was a very nice little branch, so it was used as a model throughout the state for a while
for a small branch. Mm-hmm. The Boy Scouts played a very vital role in the library in Harford County. They helped with a move when we moved the workroom in the main headquarters. When we moved the books from the workroom upstairs to downstairs, the Boy Scouts, Bel Air Boy Scouts, took part. Bill Cox was one of the Boy Scouts who helped.
Was he really?
So we better mention Bill in the early days. And when we moved the library from the USO to the new branch quarters of the new branch library in Aberdeen, the Boy Scouts came and moved every last book. So we always used the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm. So then you went into motherhood.
Well, in 1957, December, I retired, and January 8th, 1958, I had my daughter. Hmm. And we sent out notices to let the world know that she had not been adopted, because the whole community knew that we were in the process of adoption for 2 years before that. So we still, as recently as 2 weeks ago, Mary Lucas asked me if Susan was adopted. So we still have people inquire how our adopted daughter, who actually is our natural daughter, came about.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't give up the book business.
Well, I didn't give up the book business, Rowena, because I had people who would call and want books to be ordered. I had never ordered personal books when I was at the library, but I found that I was getting requests about ordering books, and also I started to, long before Susan was born, I started to do volunteer work at the Slate Ridge Elementary School, and that led to a book fair at the elementary school at Slate Ridge. Then that led to book fairs at other elementary schools, and Paul enjoyed my doing the book fairs, but he thought it was quite an expense for me to go into Baltimore and bring books out and so on my own time and my own gas and so forth. So then I thought, well, maybe I would try to make it to a little business. So I established the bookstall, and I just squeaked by over the years. It's never been a books are not exactly a very lucrative business unless you go into something big. And then when Walden's opened, I knew I couldn't compete with something like that. I could not give full time, and didn't want to give full time. Mm. So I just had this strange little bookstall, which has been a service kind of thing, and I just haven't been able to give it up, and haven't been able to devote enough time to it to make it really a profitable sideline. But that's the story of the bookstall.
Okay.
Right now, I'm actually going in more to personal orders and used books.
Oh, yeah.
Ordering them and so on, but I'm really not stocking.
Oh. Mm-hmm.